Welcome to Men Alive, a biblical journey to help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Paul Estabrooks. Our teacher is my longtime friend, Dr. Jim Cunningham, consultant in adult education, director of Go Teach Global, and author of the book Men Alive.
Paul, you and I were both born in Canada. Here we are years later broadcasting a radio program to South Africa via Trans World Radio satellite radio station. Do you think the South Africans notice our Canadian accents on the radio?
You can bet they do. Our Canadian accents are a challenge for some listeners if they cannot understand the words as they hear them.
Well, accents aside, I have a story to tell our African listeners from Canadian history that even some Canadians have never heard. It's a story of hope when there is conflict. Canada has a fascinating mixture of what we will call clashing cultures. The early explorers were French and English. Yes, some Russian explorers came south on the west coast from Siberia, and some Spanish explorers came north from South America, but most of the settlers were predominantly Protestant in English Upper Canada and Roman Catholic in French Lower Canada.
Our listeners need to know that Upper and Lower were geographical terms referring to their locations on the St. Lawrence River. Upper Canada today is called Ontario, and Lower Canada is called Quebec.
Good point, Pablo. French, English, Catholic, Protestant were just two of Canada's early issues they had to overcome to build a nation. Solving relations between Indigenous groups and immigrants from many countries was another challenge for Canada. The strength of our national identity and national unity provided opportunities for profitable employment and peaceful living, thus making Canada one of the most sought-after homelands for refugees in the world. But our peaceful nation was not always this way. Stay with me while I review some history. France and England fought a seven-year war in Europe between 1756 and 1763. This conflict spilled over to the colonies. The British were eventually victorious. The British realized how vulnerable Canada was to attacks by the Americans. To protect their troops and supplies from American attacks, an alternative route was proposed along the Ottawa-Rideau River called the Rideau Canal. The task fell to Lieutenant Colonel John By to build the canal. Construction began in 1826. The canal was 200 kilometers long, had 50 dams, 47 locks, and took 5 years to build, with its official opening in 1832. Over 2,000 men were employed in the task. They lived in a small settlement where the Ottawa and the Rideau Rivers met. It's called Bytown in honor of the colonel. The workers were a feisty group, mainly of Irish descent. They came to the New World to get away from problems at home, but soon found themselves embroiled in a similar Protestant-Catholic struggle in Bytown. The little town's makeup was almost 25% Irish Catholic, 25% French Catholic, and 50% British Protestant. After the Rideau Canal was finished in 1832, the area became known as a thriving lumber community, but tensions continued. So did the violence. A near one murder a day rate was achieved, making this small town one of the most violent places on earth to live at that time. Herein lies our story. Into this murder a day horror village named Bytown stepped two somewhat obscure individuals, Nicholas Sparks, an Irish Protestant farmer, and Daniel O'Connor, an Irish Catholic worker who lived in Sparks' home. Though their chosen churches were different in many ways, these two Christian men became close friends. They often sat together in the evening and read the Bible together. The surrounding violence made them realize one thing: something has to be done. With a sincere faith in God, they agreed to go from lumber camp to lumber camp and risk showing loggers that the essence of the Christian faith and the hope for survival is to love one another. If they, a Protestant and a Catholic, can live together in the same home, there was hope. It was a powerful visual model. People began to see the genuine love of Jesus Christ conquer hatred, as modeled in two of the modern-day disciples. Tensions and violence began to diminish among Bytown's 2,000 inhabitants. The murder rate dropped from over 300 a year to virtually none.
You are listening to Men Alive with Dr. Jim Cunningham. You can find all the Men Alive programs on our website, goteachglobal.com. You can also request your PDF copy of A Model of Hope at menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. That's menaliveuntogod@gmail.com.
In late 1857, Queen Victoria was looking for a respectable place to make the permanent capital of the new Canada without showing favor to either Montreal or York called Toronto, or Kingston, where the St. Lawrence and the Cataraqui rivers meet Lake Ontario, but was too close to the American border. Choosing a capital city was not easy. To settle it, Queen Victoria chose Bytown. Why? It was a small, peaceful town centrally located between the cities of Montreal and Toronto, along the border of Ontario and Quebec, the very center of Canada at that time. And it was also far away from the American border, making it safer from attacks. Construction of the Parliament buildings for the Dominion of Canada began in 1859 on a piece of land between the northern edge of the city and the Ottawa River. Planners for the new city, to be called Ottawa, carefully laid out streets on farmland obtained from community families. The names Sparks and O'Connor were assigned to two streets. Sparks Street goes east to west, O'Connor Street goes north and south. They form a cross which today points to the west block of the Canadian Parliament buildings. A strong reminder that the way of the cross overcomes the way of the culture. Sparks owned a lot of land, which he sold off as Bytown grew and became quite wealthy. He was a great philanthropist. He personally paid for a church to be built in Bytown, and the Anglican church there has a stained glass window in his honor. Sparks and O'Connor offer English and French Canadians, whether Protestant or Catholic, a model of hope for Canada's survival by modeling the words of Jesus of Nazareth. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this shall everyone know you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Great story. How might men apply this model of hope in fulfilling their role as men in whatever country they are listening from today?
Nicholas Sparks and Daniel O'Connor gave us a model of hope, two ordinary men who took a risk. Though from different cultures, different religious beliefs, and different worlds, they agreed to accept each other and study the Bible together. This united them in an acceptance of the absolute truths of the Bible as they became transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. They lived what they believed, and they had a vision to help others live in peace. Men, our world is in a spiritual conflict. We are facing a new unholy trinity, the complete reversal of Christianity. The unholy trinity is comprised of secular humanism, materialism, and legalism. Secular humanism has replaced belief in God with belief in good. We now have an insatiable lust for personal freedom to believe and practice whatever is right in our own eyes. We do this by removing any public expression of faith in God. Secularism has emerged in many countries that consider the church's denouncement of certain sins to be unacceptable. A growing movement tries to label certain religious speech against homosexuality, for example, or against abortion, as hate speech. In response, the secular humanists have begun to marshal the civil powers to restrict and punish undesirable religious speech. Today, you can believe the moon was made of a giant oatmeal cookie, and someone would say, "Oh, that is so awesome." You could even sign up followers and maybe get a charitable agency to promote your beliefs. But if you say you believe Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, horrors, you've become one of those religious guys who must be silenced. The second part of the unholy trinity is materialism. Materialism creates an insatiable, selfish, spend-your-way-to-happiness lifestyle that fails to gain personal or financial freedom. This rounds out the second person of the unholy trinity, materialism without hope, totally against the teachings of Jesus Christ. The third part of the unholy trinity is legalism. There is a growing new religious legalistic fundamentalism that grips many countries. The government aids in suppressing those of other faiths or even different sects of the same faith. Religious fundamentalism and religious nationalism is rising among Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists around the world, coupled with the direct assistance, sympathy, or apathy of the civil powers. This has made the issue of religious liberty one of the most pressing concerns of the first decade of this century. The third person of the unholy trinity is legalism without love. Legalism, as found in many of the religious fundamentalist power groups of the world today, is quite simple. It has no mercy, no grace, no liberty, no love, no respect for life, just raw legalistic power and control. Men, our mandate today is to equip and empower adults to achieve peace and reconciliation for community transformation. Here are three desires in closing. First, we must earnestly desire to have a heart at peace, free from guilt, free from anger, free to forgive, while practicing biblical disciplines that evidence our love for one another, found on our personal reconciliation to our Lord Jesus Christ. Nicholas Sparks and Daniel O'Connor each had a heart at peace. Second, we desire to have a home at peace, free from abuse and violence, based on our hope in Scripture and reconciliation with one another within our family. The home of Nicholas Sparks, where Daniel O'Connor lived, was a home at peace. Third, disciples of Jesus Christ also desire to have our community at peace, free from fighting, gangs, killings, and conflict, based on principles of prayer and reconciliation with one another within our church and community. Sparks and O'Connor helped transform Bytown into a community at peace. These remain our three desires today.
There you have it, men, a model of hope for peace in our heart, peace in our home, and peace in our community. Request your digital copy of Sparks and O'Connor, A Model of Hope, at menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. That's menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. Men Alive is a production of Go Teach Global. Visit our website at goteachglobal.com. Until next time, I'm Paul Estabrooks on behalf of Dr. Jim Cunningham, encouraging you to become Men Alive, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ.